kind of like devastating. Don't tell them about all the people that just died, okay? I called somebody, I don't want to name their name, and they said, oh, did you know Alex Trebek just died of pancreatic cancer? I did not know. It's all over the news. Jeopardy's and,
Patrick,
you know.
Patrick Swayze, they told you.
Yeah. I had another one say, oh, my sister-in-law, she died of pancreatic cancer. Well, thank you. Like, I didn't know that either. Okay. So, FYI, someone comes with a devastating diagnosis. Don't tell them about the latest person
that
died.
Speak faith.
Always speak faith. Always speak the word of God. And one person was not a Christian and the other one was a Christian. I'm just thinking, you know, as they say in the South, bless their heart, but their stupid head, Lord help. So I was like, really? Okay. So then, you know, I knew I had a journey ahead of me of, you know, chemo and ports and all that business and all the medical stuff. I had to retire from my job as a nurse, as an RN. And I have to tell you, from the day I got that diagnosis, God gave me a word. And yeah. I cannot express to us how important it is to get the word of God in our mind, in our mouth, in our spirit, in our heart. Because when you're going through something that's unexpected, yeah. You're going through something that, oh, I never actually asked God, why did this happen to me? I really don't care why. I just want to know how to fix it. I just don't care about how it happened. And, you know, maybe I ate too much sugar. Who knows? But anyway, I don't know. But the word that God gave me, and I've rehearsed it in my heart so many times. It was out of Isaiah 41:10. And it says here, fear not. I just got told I'm going to die. There's a 4% survival rate, okay, if that, okay? In fact, I went to see a doctor and in Virginia about the whole situation, and he said to me, and I started doing some things, and I won't tell you about it here publicly, but some things, and he basically told me I'm going to be dead, right? So I said, well, I'm doing this particular thing. He goes, you can't do that. I said, you just told me I'm going to drop dead. I said, I am not scared of that now, okay? I'm not feeling too scared about anything right now. Oh, and by the way, in the midst of this, you know, I went and I had a torn meniscus. I'm like, oh, next, don't even care. Like, flick that away. I don't even care about that. Yeah, whatever. Oh, I got a sty in my eye? Yeah, whatever. Okay.
All at the same time.
Everything is in perspective now. But God gave me a word out of He gave me a word out of Isaiah 41:10, and it says, do not fear. Okay. And when you get something like that for about 2 weeks, you are shaken. Yes. It's like, what? And he says, for I am with you.
Yes, amen.
He said, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Do you know dismay can cause the life of Jesus Christ to be sucked out of you? It can be sucked. Faith can be sucked out of you when you get dismayed. When you look back at the Old Testament and all the armies, and one of the things that they did is they discouraged people. They talked trash. You know, when people go into a fight, you know, they talk trash. They're trying to get the person to be dismayed. But God said, do not be dismayed, for I am your God.
Yeah.
And he said, I will strengthen you.
Yeah.
I will help you.
Amen.
I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Now, you're going through, you know, when you go through chemo, of course, you're vomiting and you got, you know, your hair falls out and clumps and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, keep standing on the word of God.
Yes.
Keep standing. In fact, I have to tell you, this is how good God is. I want to tell you a couple things this morning. One thing is that God is always speaking to you. God is not just speaking to me. He's not just speaking to my husband. He's not just speaking to the pastor. He's speaking to you every single day. I don't care if it's a carrier pigeon. I don't care if it's your neighbor who you can't stand. I don't care. I don't care. It might be a teaching you heard. It might be just from the reading the scriptures. But I'm telling you what, pay attention. God is speaking to you. So I got that word, and don't I get three different people that don't know each other send me a note in the mail with that exact scripture on it. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Okay. And different people sent it to me. Another person gave me something that had that scripture on it. And it was like when I felt like, oh, you know, I'm getting weary, you know, about this stuff. God is speaking to us in the midst of our circumstance, in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of all these things. He said this. He said, don't be afraid.
Right.
And he said, don't be dismayed. Not because you're so strong, not because you're so great. He said, because I'm with you.
Right.
He said, I'm your God.
Right.
I'm your God. You're not your own God. So,
hallelujah.
But God, through so many different circumstances, and that's just one of many, many things that God spoke to me. And I have to tell you, so number one, God is always speaking to us.
Right.
Don't think that God is not speaking to you. He is speaking to you. We have to really train our hearts and our ears to listen to what he says. And number two, write it down.
Yes.
Write it down, because because you need to remember what he told you.
Right.
Because I'm telling you what, when you're going through the midst of a fire, you're going to forget. And go back and reread what God told you. You know, in the Old Testament, when they had the scribes, they wrote down what happened. They wrote down what the prophet said. They wrote down what the king said. In fact, they wrote those things down. And so we are to write those things down. And I have to tell you, so that was just one of many things. And I'll tell you, when I had surgery, as you know, I had surgery 4 weeks ago. And I was pretty involved. They have a song, I left my heart in San Francisco. I told the surgeon, I said, I left my spleen in New York City. I think he thinks I'm a little nutty. I left my spleen in New York City. And so anyway, I had to go through, you know, the whole surgery thing and all the stuff that happens with abdominal surgery. But I have to tell you, one night, a day or two after surgery, it was like 2:30 in the morning, I woke up in the hospital, and a song came to me, and it was from a song called Promises, and it was just a refrain. It says, great is your faithfulness to me.
Yes.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Here I'm laying with tubes sticking out of me, and my stomach's swollen, and I can't eat, and I'm nauseated. And that song came to me, so I put it on my phone, and I meditated on that, because I'll tell you what, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in his sight.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, this is where, you know, it doesn't mean that the circumstance may not change immediately, but I'm telling you what, every day we need to check our hearts.
Yes.
Am I believing the word of God?
Yes. Right.
Check my mind. Am I meditating on the word of God? Check my mouth.
There it is.
Am I speaking the word of God in this circumstance? Now, as you know, in Romans, it says, calling those things that are not as though they are. Okay, we don't call the thing that is as though it isn't. Like, I don't say, oh, I didn't have surgery. Hello? I got 57 staples to prove it. Okay, you don't call the thing that is as though it isn't. That's like denial. But you call the thing that is not as though it is. So I called health into my body because my husband was sitting there trying to not be sick to his stomach. I was hoping he didn't faint. But I have to tell you, so first of all, God is always speaking to us. Second of all, write it down. Write down what God is speaking to you. And keep the word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth. And the last thing, you know, and actually, so anyway, that song came to me at night. And don't I read a few days later in Psalm 42:8? It says, oh Lord, you will command your loving kindness in the morning, and your song shall come to me in the night.
Amen. Amen.
A prayer to the God of my life. And I said, God,
Amen.
You're always speaking. You're always helping me. You're always strengthening me. It was a song in the night that strengthened me.
Amen.
That his faithfulness is great.
Amen.
It is great. And it's a past finding out. So anyway, you know, now, of course, I had to monitor my own IV. I had to make sure that it wasn't infiltrating. And I had this poor guy, male nurse, young. I think he was a young guy. I don't know. I think I made him a nervous wreck because they were like, she's a nurse, you know. So I'm like, okay. So I was like, this IV is going bad. It was like, okay. I said, call IV team. I said, because of my heart stick now. Okay. So he didn't call IV team this one day. And now they left. And now I haven't had any fluids for like hours. Now I'm getting nauseated. I'm about ready to, you know, blow. And so thank God this other nurse came on the next shift. She tries to get the IV. She can't get it in. Tries the second one. She uses a little. God gave her wisdom. I'm telling you what. Little tiny line. Got it in. While she's just finishing up, of course, I start throwing up. And then she gives me the medication and everything. And so anyway, she, I told her, I said, God used you to save my life. I said, you know. So anyway.
Amen.
But at, so then I told that next that nurse the next day, that guy nurse, I said, now this little line is not going to last the weekend, okay? I want you to call IV team now. They leave today at 5, okay? And so now he knew from the whole thing before. So anyway, when I leave the hospital, it was so funny. He goes, thanks for all your instructions. I said, I can't do a whole lot right now, but I can instruct. I'm really, really good. So anyway, but I'll tell you what, we need to get the word of God, keep it in our heart and in our minds. Write it down. God is always speaking. Write it down.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, always write it down and listen to it. And don't ever think that he's not with you, because he is with you.
Amen.
That's a lie of the enemy, that he is not with you. But anyway, and that's why praise and worship is so important, too. That song came to me in the night, and then, you know, out of Psalm 42:8, the same, you know, how his song will come to me in the night, and it did. And I even like this morning, when I woke up this morning, I had this song on my heart. I just woke up with it. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Praise the Spirit, 3-in-1, of God of glory and majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. And I've been really deficient in writing things down to remember, to go back and rehearse what God said.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage everybody today. I am recovering. I'm in recovery. And but I have to tell you, whether we go through so many storms, I'm telling you what, as I read in the New Testament, don't think because we're going through storms. Look at the people who've been through hurricanes, earthquakes, the death of loved ones, health problems, all this kind of stuff. Don't think that God is not with you. We live in a fallen world. And as people of faith, we can go through it. And I want to say this one more thing. This is not the end. We've now turned the page, and now God is going to write a new chapter in my life. And every day, God is going to write a new chapter. Some of us have been through terrible things. But I wanted to say it's not over, and this is not the final word of our lives, and that we need to be ready with our pen, which I have over there, and we need to write down, okay, God, we am taking all the lessons of the past, taking all the things that God has shown us, all the things we've seen in the Bible, all the things that God's done in our lives. Remember that. But now it's time to look forward to what is the next chapter, what is the next place you're taking me to, God. Where are you taking me? And start writing it down where he is taking you.
Amen.
So God bless you all. Thank you so much for everything. And I appreciate it.
That concludes this morning's service. Because everything I wanted to say, she said. Hallelujah. Let's pray one more time. You know, when I come to Rock Solid, I don't come to be the teacher. I do that in Albany, New York. I come to have fun.
Amen.
I really do. Yeah, I like it. Father, we just thank you. We stand in agreement this day that your word will go forth and not return void, but your word will accomplish those things whereunto you have said it. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Did you pan? Okay. You're sitting in the front row. Don't interrupt me again. I'm not Brother Halstead. Just remember that, okay? He lets his wife get away with anything. And not so. Hallelujah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
You know, I heard the story. I mean, how many know that we're in a warfare?
Yeah.
Look, I got a word from the Lord. I've prayed for days about being here. You know, this morning me and my wife came down and we were singing that last song in the car about his goodness. Wow, it's amazing how good he has been to us. I heard the story about this lady, and she was a real woman of faith. And so every morning she would stand out on her front porch of her house, and she would pray at the top of her lungs. And then for about 2-3 minutes, she would shout, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Well, right next door to her, there was a man who was an atheist. He hated her coming out every morning. So one morning she comes out, she had been through a hard time financially, and she starts crying out to God. Lord, I don't have money for food, and I don't know what I'm going to do to pay my bills, and Lord, I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids, and she just started yelling, Hallelujah. The next morning, she came out to pray, as she normally did, and there her front porch was loaded with food. So she started saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. The atheist jumped out of a bush and said, God didn't do it, I did it. And she said, hallelujah, God even uses the devil. Hallelujah. Let's go to see where we're going to go this morning. We want to talk about making a fresh start. I think God is calling us to have a reset of a mindset in light of COVID. I know down here in Columbia County, you guys have been shaken and been challenged as we have. And my wife said something that's so insightful as we get into the Word of God this morning, that I want to just say this, God is good. God is good. So if God is good, then when bad things happen, there has to be another reason why bad things happen if God is good. If God is not good and he's responsible, some people will say God allowed it. If God allowed it, then he's responsible. So there must be another reason. If we believe God is good, why bad things are happening in this world? So here's where I'm going to go this morning, just to start off a little bit. You know, I don't like it when people try to portray, even Christians, that God is not good. It really deeply bothers me. I was so moved by that last song because it's a reality to us. We have found that even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil. We might have to walk through it. But he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You know, God created man on the evening of the sixth day. And when that was all done, God looked and said, everything was good. God never wanted you or me or humanity to experience evil. That was never God's intent. You see, God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of all the kings of the earth, and the one who's released us from our sins by his blood. He is Lord. But because God is omniscient, he knows if there's a left, there's a right, if there's up, there's a down, if there's an in, there's a out, if there's a God, there's a devil. If there's good, there's evil. And so God has all knowledge, and so God created man, said it was good. By the way, God didn't wait till man was on the earth to create air. Oh, slipped my mind. All that we have needed in the beginning in our relationship with God was already provided for us. God put in the tree because God is omniscient. He knows the beginning from the end. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God only wanted us to experience good. But because we are free moral agents, God gave Adam and even gives you and me the option to choose what path we're going to walk. Many of us, if we could go back and relive our lives over again, we would make different choices. If we can get to where I want to go, we're going to talk about how to have a fresh start if we can get there. Whew. I want to say this about God. You will never grow, listen to me, you will never grow stronger in your faith than your conviction that God is good. Because if you don't become totally absorbed that he is good, then you'll wonder when bad things happen where it came from. There's another answer why bad things happen to good people when we live in a fallen world. Jesus called Satan the power of the prince of the air. It goes on to say things like this, that we were the children of disobedience. And we all were part of that fallen nature. And so God gave you and me the right to choose. And there's consequences to those choices. And we're living them out right now. But they don't have to be that way in your life, in my life. What my wife didn't get to tell you about was this week she got a phone call from those surgeons amazed about how she has recovered. Everything that no one ever responds to, she has responded to and more. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you what, she said something that's true. She gets this terrible thing from the doctors. A couple of them said only 4% chance that you'll even live. Then my poor wife twists her leg, she's like this. She gets a huge sty in her eye. And I can tell you what, before God Almighty, she never spoke a negative word.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
I never confessed a negative word about her. If I had thoughts in my mind, I pulled them down. I wouldn't even speak them out. Right. We called in the manifestation continually. Every morning throughout the day, we would lay hands and call in from the spirit realm, because that's where healing flows from,
right,
into her natural body. Wow. So your faith will never grow. Man, I wish I knew this 30, 40 years ago. Your faith will never grow beyond your conviction that God is good. I'm going to just go real quick before I get into my message. I want to read from Romans chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For the last year, my wife and myself have been doing Facebook teachings, and we've been talking about faith. And we're going to look why the importance of that is. I don't know where it is. You got it up there? I'm going to flow. You guys need to keep it in speed, man, because I usually speak at 800 words a minute with gusts up to 1,000, but I'm going slow because I'm in Columbia County. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. This is powerful. The Apostle Paul said, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Right. The Apostle says, where is the boasting then? It's excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And this is really important to grasp as we move ahead in these closing days of the church. Is that the kingdom of God is operated by laws. Faith is, there is the law of faith. One of my favorite scriptures is over in Romans chapter 8. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sin. To condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. So it's really important. You know, God didn't wait till man was there to create electricity. Man only discovered it so how many years ago? It was always there. The law of gravity. All these laws were set in by God. And so faith has ways that it works. I've come to believe through this trial with my wife, crying out to God, that God doesn't sit up in heaven and have his big, huge corporate desk with all your prayer requests. And he says, those people were late to come to rock solid church. Don't answer their prayer. Oh, they didn't tithe. They didn't read the scriptures. They didn't pray this week. So based on your performance, God says yea or nay. No, there's laws. When you start to move into the principles of the word of God, when you start to work in the law of faith, they automatically respond. The realm of the spirit automatically responds to your needs because it's the law of faith. Amen? Just like there's a law of sin and death, and each of us were held captive by that law before the blood of Jesus. Right. Let me just exhort you about this because this is something we're living, my wife and myself. Look, it's one thing to teach on faith and preach on faith. It's another thing to live by faith. Amen. And here we go. I want to just say this morning because this has changed my life and my walk with God. I have to tell you, when the doctors called and said these things to my wife, I was excited about it, but I wasn't shocked about it because that's what we've been standing in faith for. Right. Amen? Here it goes. Here's the law, one of the laws of faith. And if we're going to apprehend what Christ apprehended of us, if we're going to take this county, and this house is well able to take this county and go all the way down to New York City, you're well able to do it. The devil might send COVID. He might send people departing and all kinds of issues to shake your faith. But let me tell you something. Our house is built on that rock, Christ Jesus. Yes. Winds are coming. All kind of noise is happening. But we shall, remember you old Pentecostals, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the river. Here it is, law of faith. Something I've had to really realize. I thought I knew it, but I didn't know it. Here it is. Here's the law of faith. Maintain, don't obtain. You know, I found that the spiritual warfare is more about maintaining what Jesus obtained. Spiritual warfare is about you maintaining the victory of Jesus Christ, what he obtained. What kind of victory? We're talking about healing. Maintain it. He obtained it. You maintain it. He obtained deliverance for you and me. Yep. You maintain that deliverance. That's right. Yes. I've got people up in our ministry who think this is some kind of a joke. And I've had to watch their lives go out of control because they just had a form of godliness and not the power of God. Right. I know it doesn't happen down here in Columbia County, but a lot in Albany County. So Jesus obtained your deliverance. You maintain that deliverance. Jesus obtained your freedom. You maintain that freedom. Here's the issue. Here's the issue that really struggled me. I was continually trying to obtain something Jesus obtained.
Right.
Yeah. He's already, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to glory and virtue. That we might receive that divine nature. So I am called in this dispensation as you. Look, I'm amazed when I don't have a problem. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes something's going down because there's no problems right now. You know? And so God is calling the church to enforce Calvary's victory. He's given us the authority. He's given us the name. He's given us the blood of Jesus. Our job is to realize and believe that Jesus has already obtained it. Now you maintain it. Thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
I think the greatest warfare that we have struggled with this last year is really believing that Jesus obtained healing. I don't have all the answers. Believe me, I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you one thing. I'm going to maintain that. I'm watching the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. I'm bringing every thought captive. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold, bringing every thought captive. And you know, you've heard it in this house a lot. That's the battlefield. And it's been a struggle for sure. Amen. So what happens when you don't, when you try to obtain what he already obtained, you go back to what I call performance-based living. Self-effort. And I believe that our pastor said it today when he was praying. I believe that one of the greatest spiritual battles was accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection is believing that Jesus said those three words, it is finished. Either it is finished or it's not finished. Amen. Yeah. And the only way the devil can defeat us as we move ahead by faith in these coming days into 22 is to get us to go back under performance-based ministry. Look, I was raised in a denomination. That's how we were schooled. You did bad, boom. You did good, you got rewarded. You did bad, God broke your leg. I remember I was 21 years old, maybe 22 years old. I was in a prayer closet in New York City, and I was in a room praying with another man, a young guy my age. We were just crying out to God, and this guy was holding the conference, came into the prayer room, and I'll never forget, he opened the door up and said, and he said, "Brother Fink." And they're, "Yeah?" Because I thought that he had like a crystal ball. Because he used to put his hand on my head and tell me what I was thinking. And I'm like, "What else you see up there?" Anyways. And he said these words to me. I'll never forget it. He said, "God has spoken to me for you, son." He said, "If he has to, he'll break every bone in your body to get you to do his will." I'm like, "Not my legs." I know it seems stupid today because I had to fight that. I was raised with that. If I do good, God blesses me. If I do bad, God hurts me. Can I tell you something? I have come to believe that even when I was dead in my trespasses and in my sins, God loved me as much then as he does today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to move ahead real quick. I have struggled to believe that he obtained what everybody says he obtained. Because we have a tendency to judge reality by what we feel, by what we see, by what we taste, by those natural five senses. Amen? But God's calling us out of the natural into the supernatural. And Satan has these divine strategies, demonic strategies, to get us distracted. A couple of months ago, I was in prayer and crying out to God about where we were at in our lives with God. And by the way, my wife said to me the other day, God has spoken to me. We're about ready to turn the page to a new chapter in our ministry.
Amen.
I might get knocked down, but we're not knocked out.
Right.
If a righteous man gets knocked down, he gets up seven times at least. That's God's perfection. Amen. And so I want to talk about how to make a fresh start. Because I don't care if it's an individual thing or if it's a corporate thing for the church. This church has been shaken. Our church has been shaken.
Yeah.
I know churches around me who've been in Albany, New York for almost 50 years who closed their door.
Right.
Yep. We're not closing our door.
Amen. Ever
again. I have to tell you something. Here we go. Okay, we're bringing it all out now. Put the video on. And anyways. Yeah, okay. Just. I was hoping he wasn't going to make me wear a mask this morning. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road and talk about it at all. And so you might get knocked down. You must discern where that problem's coming from. It's either coming from a demonic attack, either you did something to open the door up and give the devil legal access.
Right.
The Bible says one third of that innumerable, incalculable, multitudinous multitude of heavenly angels that rebelled against God with Lucifer, God has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness.
Right.
That's where Satan lives. I used to think he lived in Washington, D.C. He might have moved. I'm not sure. But anyways, the Bible says that he lives in darkness. Darkness is not the absence of light. It's the absence of God who is light. And the moment I willfully open my life up to sin, I give Satan legal access to oppress me. Close the door. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse me. Stay in the light. Clean hands, pure heart, stay in the light. It's the greatest spiritual defense you can have against the devil.
That's right. Amen.
We're talking about the law of faith, how to make a fresh start. And by the way, you know, it's interesting. Ephesians chapter 6, it says, above all, above all, above all, take the shield of faith that you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We are people who have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of Romans 5 says, and by faith we have access into this grace. I like to say I'm blessed. Anybody? You guys you all became Baptists or Presbyterians or something. I just want to say that I'm blessed.
Amen.
I didn't say problem free.
That's right.
I said I'm blessed. Because I'm in Christ, because you're in Christ. Listen to this. We have a supernatural innate ability to triumph over evil because I'm blessed. God can work everything out for my good because I'm blessed. Surely goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, me and my family. Hallelujah. Let me give you John chapter 5. We got to move because he wants me out of here by 1. Oh, man, I saw the ears go up on all you Baptist-costals. I'm going to talk about real quick how to make a fresh start. This is from our life. Look, we're not sinning. We're not running after false gods. But we've had to relook at our life. Man, I tell you what. I was broken last night. I'm not going to tell you how close I am to 70, but I'm moving on. I'm married to an older woman who's 66. Would you say 8? Oh, that's the other wife. Okay, no. We have a desire for him more than we ever have.
Amen.
Truthfully. We are not satisfied. I'm not dissatisfied, but I want more of him. She wants more of him. Yeah. She has become dangerous. She writes notes all the time and says, guess what God is saying? I'm like, I can't take anymore. I can't. She has loaded them with vision for enough 6 women. John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, excuse me. I always get messed up when I come here. Because I'm going to preach a nice message, but I never get to have the stuff I want to say. Because we have prayed hours in the tongues, just in the spirit, just to come here today. Because I believe God is going to do something spectacular. It's not just, I remember when we came in here, the first time we looked at this place, what a dump. Not against anything against the Baptist. Somebody say amen in this place. If you were back there, you would say amen too. I think that was the smoking room over there. I'm not really sure. But look what God hath done. I had a preacher who'd been in our city almost 50 years come to me and say, how did you get that building? And how did you get that other building over there worth $1 million? How did you get all that money? He said, you must have a wealthy white church. I said, my wife and myself, we are the minority. I was telling Larry, thank God for Larry. Larry did such a great job cooking for our picnic last week. Man, he gave me so much chicken. I'm going to become a vegetarian next week. I've had chicken every way you can think of. We need some beef, don't we, babe? I shouldn't have talked about chicken, but anyways, I just want to thank God for him. He really did a great job. But he was there, and there must have been at least 15, 16 nations that kept coming up and talking to him and his uncle, saying things to him. So he said, man, he said, you got any white folk in that church at all? I said, well, let me just tell you this. I said, do you know what xenophobia is? He says, no. He said, it's a fear of foreigners. I said, and I'm struggling with it right now.
Nancy, there, can't we get some Americans saved somewhere in our church? You know? Hallelujah. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Can I just get a witness?
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Look at Satan wants to destroy and to rob your faith. Yes. Because he knows this is the victory. And I tell you what, a couple of weeks ago, I was in crying out to God about something. I know not down here in Columbia County, but so many of our people are becoming like lethargic.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're not sinning. They're not pillaging and robbing and smoking dope and crack. Not that I know of this week, but anyways, you know. But there's a sense of like floating.
Yeah.
And I cried out to God, what is going on? I don't want to be part of a floating church.
Amen.
And the Lord gave me this word. He says, my people are suffering because they have been distracted.
Mm-hmm.
See, Satan wants to come. He's not going to tempt me with crack. Ernie, you want some crack cocaine? I don't know if he does that or not. But no, I'm going to say no. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. So he has a strategy to keep the lost person lost and a strategy to keep the Christian weak, anemic, spiritually undeveloped. And we must not be ignorant of these devices. And the victory that God has given you and me, because to just live this way, is faith. Faith is not a teaching from the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. It was spoken of in the old covenant with Habakkuk. The just live by faith. And these coming days, you must shut out the distractions.
Yep.
We don't. That's so. I have people when we do fasting every year. They would just as soon cut a hand off than to shut social media off.
Yeah.
No food for 18 months, no problem. Shut the social media off for a day. I don't think I can. I need a fix. Thank God, not down here in Columbia County. So part of his strategy in these last days, knowing that you love God, knowing that you want to please God, is to use distractions. COVID has been a major distraction. The whole thing with masks, it's a major distraction to destroy and divide the body of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm reading out of the New Century Version, verse 18 says this, the Lord says, forget what happened before. Forget what happened before and do not think about the past. You cannot change the past.
That's right.
I've tried. And we were younger, I'm still married to her. We're only married about 2 months. She came to my office I had at home. She says, I'm going to tell you something there. Watch. She said, I'll never leave you. Don't you threaten me. Verse 19, look at the new thing I'm going to do. Look, if this is a prophetic word for the body of Christ. And I was praying last night. I have to say, we have so much. We're so much alike with our core values. I have a different flavor in our church because we have so many internationals. We don't have, if God, where's that brother who plays the guitar? If you ever moved to Albany, I'm going to give you my personal cell number. He can play the guitar, that guy. Man, he is good. Oh, man. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land, says the Lord. You know, many of us here this morning, we would like to have a fresh start. Amen?
Yeah.
I wish I could go back and change a few things in my life, but I can't, but I can have a fresh start.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of setbacks, a lot of frustrations, a lot of failures, a lot of wrong assumptions in our Christian life. We cannot change that. Don't waste your time. God is doing something new. You know, if you go back and you study church history, you'll find that every time a fresh move of God became visible and understood, God already moved to do something different. I was part of some of the great movement. I was part of the great charismatic movement. Started to happen in 1967, and most people ended about 20 years. But I can remember going to church 7 days a week. Not to our church. We had services, then we went to everybody else's service.
Yeah.
Truthfully. I talked to Brother Jimmy Pratt. That's where I met Jimmy Pratt. Back in the mid-70s, I was just a young guy. I'm preaching at a men's meeting, and Jimmy was there. And he used to hang around with my older brother, and so Jimmy was crazy. He would go 7 days a week, sometimes twice in one day. And next thing you know, I'm finding myself. I'm going to meetings. People, hey, you know, there's another meeting over here in Troy. Ah, we all would run. We were so hungry. I'm telling you. I'm saying, God, give the church that hunger.
Yes.
Give us that renewed vigor and vitality move of the Spirit in our lives, because I don't want to just be okay.
Right.
Okay doesn't change people's lives. Okay doesn't change the destiny of a nation.
Yeah.
We got to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I did a prayer meeting yesterday. We have on Saturdays. And I have to tell you something. In all the prayer meetings I've been in, and I've been in thousands and thousands of them, yesterday was about the worst. And it was in our church. I hadn't been in our church for probably 4 months. Because when Nancy was going through the chemo, I didn't want, you know, COVID, all that junk. I didn't want to, her white blood count was so low. I didn't want to take a chance of somebody infecting me and infecting her. So we became Facebook people. I have 100 people in our church who are still Facebook people. They worship God for the comfort of their couch. We got to move on.
Amen.
But we got to stop this forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. Look, you want excuses, the devil will give you 5 of them. Amen?
Yeah.
And so God is speaking a current word, a relevant word. I think he's always speaking.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I know right now in this room, there's through these airwaves, there's radio waves, there's TV waves, all kinds of sounds going through it, but we're not picking it up because we're not tuned into the right channel. But I'm telling you, God is about to release greater grace in the body of Christ. Greater, his finger is poised on the trigger to release greater grace to excel and expand and accelerate the coming of the bride, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you John 10:10 because I have a little acronym called START. I have to do that to you. So Pastor Halstead won't rebuke me later on. Look, if I say anything that's wrong, he'll straighten me out when I leave. So don't worry about it. John 10:10, Jesus said this, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But then he goes on to tell us that there's an adversary. He's called the devil, that he comes to steal, to kill, destroy the life that God gave you. And one of the ways that Satan does it to paralyze us, one of the distractions, is to continually get us to remember yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul said, you've got to reckon yourself dead.
Yep.
This morning, when we were singing that last song, I started speaking in tongues, but in my mind, I'm saying to God, today sin will not have dominion over me.
Amen.
My experience might say one thing. People's opinions might say another thing. But the word of God says in Romans 6, sin will not have dominion over me.
Amen.
I believe, therefore I'm speaking. We believe, therefore we speak. Amen?
Yeah.
So here's some really good news. The devil doesn't want you and me to have this fresh start in life. The good news says in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, which I just read, that God wants you to have a fresh start. You know what? The steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. Every morning, wherever you live on this planet, God renews his covenant to his people. His steadfast love is new every morning. God wants us to have a new beginnings. He wants to do something new, fresh, something beyond what you think is even feasible. According to Isaiah 43, 18, the Lord says this, forget what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new beginning. I'm going to say that to the leadership of this house. Stop crying over anything that's going wrong. I know I've had to do that myself. We've had several deaths in our church during this whole time with my wife. One of them was one of our dear beloved brother's wife who died. It's still hard for me to think about it. But let me tell you, if she was here, I'll tell you what she'd say. Move on!
Yeah.
Believe me, the things that we say we believe, her family were not like those who sorrow like no hope. They believe that Jesus died and rose again for their sins. They also believe the day will come if Jesus should tarry. When he comes, they'll be with them.
Yeah.
I got loved ones on the other side. I just said to my wife, I think it was today or last night, I said, you know, the worst thing about death is I go to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing.
Yeah.
I'm not the one who's going to suffer. It's my family. Yeah. It's those who are behind who are the ones who would miss me. Right? So here we go. I want to give you this little thing called START. I think I typed it up there. I just want to do this because it's real basic. It's kind of pastoral. I'm not trying to be real... I've been doing a lot of this stuff like numbers and things. I find that people retain things a little bit better. It's up there? Okay. Forget about the past. So if you're going to have a fresh start, number one, let me give you the word start, S-T-A-R-T. I can spell that, and I even went to public schools. I have some people in our church who think that I'm against public schools. I'm not against public schools. I'm just against the junk they teach. If you're watching by the way of the web, that's what I feel about it. Number one, we're talking about a fresh start, is stop making excuses. If you want a fresh start in your life, stop making excuses. Last night, the Lord visited me in my office, and I started making excuses. I couldn't believe it. But Lord, you know, that situation over there. And I felt the Lord said, stop making excuses. Number one, if we're going to change, have a fresh start. Stop blaming people. Stop blaming other people. Stop seeing yourself as a victim. Look, we live in a fallen world. In this fallen world, people hurt us. Even people who say they're Christians hurt us. People can harm us. People scar you. I've been scarred more by my own family. Excuse me, just turn around, because this doesn't happen in Columbia County. Okay, just a moment of silence for those of us who live up in Albany County. I've been scarred more by people who love me. And I've had to work through it. And in Jesus' name, we have worked through it. We're on the other side of it, hallelujah. But I'm just saying, from wrong actions, wrong attitudes, wrong responses that I've had, I've tried to use excuses to justify my wrongness. Right. There was a sanitarium up in upstate New York that became a Bible college, and they left a sign there. When you walk out of that facility, it says, do you want to be right or do you want to be well? I have been right, and I've been sick emotionally. Judgmental, condemning, blame shifting. But if we're going to have that fresh, and I'm talking about as a church, I'm talking about as individuals, we must stop blaming whatever's not happening and stand up to the plate and take responsibility. I have found out that the only person who can ruin my life is me. If the truth is, if the Bible is true, and the greater one lives on the inside of me, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then the issue is, I'm the only one, not even the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. We are devil-destroying believers. And because COVID has come, it doesn't mean we don't stop talking trash about the devil.
Right.
You can talk trash about the devil. Don't be talking trash about your pastor. Because he weightlifts and, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes there. I realized something today, as hard as this is, no one can ruin your life without your permission. I was so broken the other day. I'm visiting a young man who came from Africa in our church, lived in a mud hut, dirt floors, had nothing, refugees. They came, the family, we helped the family. He started to grow up in America. And finally, when he got to be 18, mom saying, do this, don't do that. And I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. And you and your God and all that stuff that happens. It happens a lot in Albany County, but thank God not down here in Columbia County.
Amen.
And I'm not getting political with you, but he got involved with this group called Black Lives Matter. And I think all lives matter. I'm not minimizing Black Lives Matter, but I'm saying I don't like some of their dogma. I don't like some of the things they stand for. Go read it on their website. And so what happens is somehow he starts to hate people who are not black, whether you're Asian, you're Spanish, or white. It doesn't make a difference. Mother can't find him. He's 18 years old. He starts smoking marijuana before it was legal. Somehow him and a friend of his who live in Albany, and Albany, we're having a crisis of people being murdered. The most in the history of our nation is happening, of our city. And so somehow, I don't know how you do this, somehow he gets an illegal handgun. His buddy gets an illegal handgun. I've been in jail visiting this kid, 18 years old. They go to buy marijuana from somebody, and the guy pulls out his gun, give me all your marijuana. The guy wrestles him and ends up shooting him. His friend murders the guy. They both get caught. From another country, he's facing life in prison. I've wept with him. I mean, it breaks my heart. He's 18 years old, and he says, oh, brother, think if only I had followed Christ. If only I had not listened to the world. If only I had listened to my mother's instructions, I wouldn't be facing 25 to life. in a 6x8 cell. I told him, you're going to prison, dude. You can do it two ways, with Christ or without Christ. You choose. You want to work it for Christ, even though you got problems, you're still blessed. He has repented. He's cried out to God for that. He's found peace with Jesus Christ. I said, you can walk with Christ, and he can take this situation, and he can turn it around. And who knows what God would do? He's got a breaker anointing. Who knows what God would do? But the pain is watching an 18-year-old, all because they thought they knew better. There's a way that seems right to a man. Come on, we got to. Yeah. I told him, he started saying, I said, look, just stop making excuses, young man. And ask God to forgive you, he will.
Yeah.
No ands, no buts, no ifs. Yep. We're going to get a new fresh move of God, whether it's in this church, whether it's in individual life. Number one, stop blaming others. Someone say the word stop.
Stop.
Number two, T, take an inventory of your life. That means we need to start evaluate whether we are in the faith or not. The book of James calls the word of God a mirror, the perfect law of liberty. We don't judge our life by people's opinions, by our denomination, by our dogma or our doctrine, but by the Bible.
That's right.
Where are we in light of the call of God in our lives? I'm not here to condemn any, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how old you are or what your human experiences are. If you're in Christ, God has an eternal purpose for you.
That's right.
Your life might so impact one person. I just sent something to one of our pastors today whose wife died. He's been studying the life of Billy Sunday, the great evangelist. And so I sent him a whole list of how he got saved. Really interesting. It goes all the way back to D.L. Moody, to the guy who led D.L. Moody to Christ, who was a shoe salesman, who nobody even knows his name, right? He ends up getting D.L. Moody saved. Today we got Chicago, out in Chicago, D.L. Moody Bible Institute. And it goes right all the way up to Billy Sunday, all the way up to Billy Graham. You don't know the life you would touch, just one life. Now, I'm going to take about 6 minutes, I'll be done. I don't usually say this, I've never said this in a church before. But I went to a bar 2 weeks ago. I don't mean a legal bar. My wife was in the hospital. I went to see her. They wouldn't let me in during the operation. And I was upset. My wife's in there. You're telling me she's not going to live, all these kind of things. I want to be there in the other room or something. They wouldn't let me. So I went back to where I was staying. I didn't realize when I got the good deal off the internet that I was staying in Spanish Harlem.
Price was right.
They said a 4-minute walk. They lied. And so when I would come back, when I could see her at nighttime, let me tell you what, I watch guys with their vans open selling 2 pounds of pot and smoking and all kinds of junk and everything's in Spanish. Yeah, 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 yeah. And they're playing dominoes on the streets and all that stuff. And when I would walk, everybody would just like, look. Thank you, Jesus. I think I had an angel behind me because I knew I was in the wrong place, but at the right time. And so I'm just going to tell you this. I had a choice to sit in that room and feel bad.
Right.
And I was feeling bad. And I felt the Lord put on my heart, go out in the streets and start preaching.
Yeah.
I grabbed a bunch of tracts. And I said, devil, for every day my wife is in a hospital, I'm going to lead people to Christ every day.
Amen.
So I'm walking down. I'm like Johnny Appleseed. You know? And finally, there's a bar. I didn't know that people didn't speak English in that bar. So I go in, and they got something up there with Governor Cuomo when he was trying to justify all the stuff that he was doing. And all these Spanish people are at the bar. And I walk in, I think they think I was Spanish because I was at the ocean. And I was at Hampton Beach. I got a little tan there.
That's my first bar.
Yeah, yeah, Gloria a Dios, señor. Anyways. Strasvi, как ты поживаешь? Спасибо большое. Just said hello to him in Russian. All right. So I go into the bar. I am not convicted. I feel okay. When I was younger, I couldn't go into a bar because I think I was frightened I might succumb.
Yeah.
I go into the bar. The bartender, hey, señor, ready, señor. So I'm up at the bar where all the dudes are drinking all that. He comes over, and I said, hey, I don't speak Spanish except agua. And so he said, what would you like? I said, load me up with a tonic and a lemon. He said, all right. Because everybody else is drinking beer and hard things, you know. So I'm watching them rail at Cuomo. And the truth of it is, I felt the Holy Spirit led me in that bar. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's like Jesus, it says going but not knowing. I was kind of in that realm. So finally, I'm sitting next to a guy, and he's railing at Cuomo on the TV. I said, you think it's bad down here in Manhattan? I live with him in Albany. You live in Albany? Well, yeah. My best friend lives in Albany. I go up 3-4 times to see him every year. I said, well, then God has sent me with a word from heaven for you. I was at the bar, he said, what? Truthfully, that happened. I have this little track we had professionally made up, a little card. It says 3 reasons why you need Jesus. You need Jesus because you got a past. You need Jesus because you need a friend. You need Jesus because you have a future. So I ordered chicken wings. I couldn't take sitting there because the music was so loud. I'm not used to that stuff. And so I sat down. He comes over. Yeah, I read this. He said, I'm going to be up in Albany soon. Can I come and sit down and talk to you about that? That was the first victory God gave me. I share Christ with him. I walk out of the place. Let me tell you what, the devil. I walk down a half a block. I didn't know they still have head shops. So I look in there. It had all kind of marijuana paraphernalia. Is that the right word? Yeah. Paraphernalia. And so I'm like, I'm going in. I go in, the place is loaded with stuff and incense, and there's one guy, and I know if it's only one guy, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to get preached at, and he's going to get prayed for.
Yeah.
So I opened up a conversation with him. I said, I've come from Albany, New York, with a word from God for you, young man. He told me he was 19. I said, you married? He said, I just got married. This word is for you. And I just did that, was in the hospital. I just had to tell somebody.
Right.
Because if I believe God wasn't the author of what's happening in her life, yeah. It's the result of living in a fallen world. I grew up as a kid. Some of you older people remember this. We had toothpaste that was in containers made out of lead. The paint was lead. My father used to say to me, I would do something stupid. What, were you eating the paint again? So you got to take an inventory of your life. Let me give you Galatians 3:4 says this. You've experienced many things. This is the living. You've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. And so we do need to look at our lives. We do need to stop every once in a while. And sometimes you might need to go to a leader in this house, an older brother or sister. You know, if you had found on the streets tomorrow a large diamond ring, you would just guess what it's worth. You'd go get it evaluated. And I'm telling you, your spiritual life is more. Look, if we're going to apprehend why he apprehended us, distractions, we need to look at our lives and take an inventory.
Amen.
I've had to do it myself. Number 3, A, act in faith. Anything less than faith is sin for the scripture, for the Christian. If you want to see your change your circumstances you're dealing with right now, it's going to take the promises of God and you believing it by faith. Amen. If you want to change your life personally, I was in prayer last night and I didn't have this thought. I know it was the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jacob wrestled with an angel? And he wrestled until, the Bible says, to the breaking of the day, is the Hebrew word bokar. It's when angels line up and receive their assignments from God. In fact, there's angels in this room, I believe, at least around one around each of us. I really believe that. I've experienced that myself. And I felt the Lord said, when he said to Jacob, that angel, what is your name? In the Hebrew, it means what is your nature? I started thinking, oh God, I'm deficient here. I don't want to be like this. Help me in this area, Lord. I've got honest with God. I'm taking inventory of my life. But when I got done crying out to God, I held on to the promises of the word of God. Amen? Because he watches over to bring to pass in our life. And the Bible says, by faith. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. By faith, my marriage is strong 10 years from now. You can believe what you want. My body's strong. My mind is strong. Our church is strong. This is not hope so. This is no so. I could give you 4 or 5 scriptures for everything I just said. I believe, therefore I speak. We believe, therefore. Oh, the Baptists are falling asleep. We speak. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And here's another one. I'm almost there today. R is for refocus. Through this whole pandemic, I tell you what, as leaders, we've had to refocus. Here's what I realize about thoughts, and this has helped me. I learned this more. I think I might have said it sometime in my life, but I've realized this about spiritual warfare. We just talked about the weapons of our warfare, bring every thought captive. I felt the Lord said to me, stop trying to resist thoughts. Replace them.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, it took me 45 years to learn that one. It was, and I was with things with my wife and what's happening in our lives, finances and all the stuff that's been affected. You know, I found myself, I won't think it. But the Spirit of God said, don't resist, replace. Don't resist, replace. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And here's the last one, T. I mean, I could preach on each one of these, is trust. Trust God. Zechariah 4:6 says this, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's not looking for us to turn over a new leaf. He's looking to give us a whole brand new life.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness today?
Yeah.
So if you're choosing how you can start fresh, no matter where you are, whether it's in a movement, as a leadership team, or individually, stop making excuses, take inventory, act out in faith, refocus your thoughts, and then we'll trust God. Let's stand up this morning. You know, my wife was having, our babies are not as big as the Halstead babies. Like your last baby was what, like 16 pounds or something like that? 10-6 or something like that? Oh, he had a baseball mitt on his head and everything when he came out. I've been trying to get that young lady to name one of her kids a name that God wants to be brought back, Ernest. She's, or if it's a girl, Ernestina. Apparently they Googled, there is no such name as Ernestina. God might give you 6 just to give you a chance, brother. Hallelujah. No, replace. You must work for the government, brother. That's all I can say. I don't know. I hope you're okay today. We came just to exhort you, to encourage you. I want a fresh start. And I remind you, God's calling this church and this county and this region no longer try to obtain. All things, according to 2 Peter, have been given unto us life and godliness. We've got to maintain what he obtained. And I tell you, it's powerful. I've been speaking that to people. I have wasted time as a Christian trying to receive what Christ already received for me. He's already done it, amen?
Yes.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for just having us in the fellowship today. I'm so honored to be in this house. I'm so honored the leadership of this house. And in the midst of all that's happening, the fulfillment of Hebrews, that everything that can be shaken before the Messiah comes will be shaken. Your situation is not unique here.
Right.
That's right.
It's happening around the globe. You know, Brother Mahanti, I just got something from him, his second guy in control after Alfred. A wonderful man just died of COVID 3 days ago. They're dealing with the whole thing with this variant of what's a Delta.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people in this world who would give anything to swap their problem for your problem.
Yeah, amen.
So every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been coming to this church, maybe you've been around, but you don't really know, you don't really comprehend why we're so excited, why we have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory in the midst of all the problems of life. If you don't know the true Jesus, I don't mean the plastic Jesus on the dashboard of somebody's car. I'm talking about the sea walker, the dead raiser, the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. If you don't really know him, we're not talking about joining a church. We're talking about having peace with God.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit's looking at your heart today. Just, I'll be done in a second. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you don't know this true Jesus, I'm going to just give you a prayer of invitation. It's a personal thing. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord.
I humble myself today.
I stop all the excuses.
And I confess
that I have sinned
and that I need you. Please forgive me for my wrong choices.
And I open my heart up
and I invite you to live your life in me. For I believe in my heart
that you were crucified,
you were buried,
and you were raised that third day.
I now declare
that Jesus Christ
is the Lord of my life.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
I'm going to challenge you. If you prayed that prayer, put your hand up. Just wave it at me.
I see that hand back there. I see that hand too. That hand. I see that hand. Somebody else, you've invited Christ into your heart. I see that hand. Thank you.
At the end, I see that hand too. At the end, we'd like you to come up here to my right, your left. We want to give you some information about this journey. It's exciting. It is wonderful.
You experienced the presence of God when this church sang that song about his goodness. It is so true.
God wants to make you to be something you didn't know you could be, and yet was his purposes for you.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.
If you're here today and you want to move into a fresh start, a new dimension, a new era in your life,
I want you to just, heads not looking around, eyes closed, put your right hand, just kind of wave at me. I want to pray for you. All over this house, 40, 50, 60 people, all over this house, come on, get involved with this in the name of Jesus. Your best days are yet ahead. I see that hand. Anybody else this day? Pray with me in the name of Jesus.
Father, forgive me for living for myself.
The days that I have left,
I want to live for you.
I ask for an insatiable desire
to know you
and the power of your resurrection.
Holy Spirit, I pray for a fresh infilling.
Visit me even in the night season.
I declare,
without hesitation, without reservation,
that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life.
Father, those hands that were raised, those hearts that were opened this day,
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
We command you to loose the lives of every individual that has raised those hands,
those who are watching by the way of the web who will, for families that are not here today, in the name of Jesus.
I come against those who are dealing with the stress of unsaved loved ones or those who are not walking in tandem in agreement with you this day.
And Father, I pray that you said where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Yes.
I pray, oh God, according to Romans chapter 5, we've been justified by faith and we have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And verse 2, and by faith we have access into your grace, your unmerited, unearned, undeserved kindness and favor.
And today we say, surely goodness and mercy
follow me all the days of my life.
I speak your blessing in this house today. May your shalom be experienced throughout this region.
And Lord Jesus, we ask you, I close with the prayer of Jude.
Lord, I pray this every day.
Lord, hold our feet to your path.
Yes.
Keep us from stumbling.
Yes.
And present us faultless before your presence with great joy.
We humble ourselves and we ask this in Jesus' name.